welcome everyone to another broadcast of the Pamela Folan Show on the Artist First Radio Network. All past shows are available in podcast form. Please visit artistfirst.com. She's the author of 9 books, a cat and dog expert, and the host of this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Pamela Folan.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I'm excited to be with you. I've got an exciting show lined up for you tonight. Again, I'm Pamela Folan, and for those of you who maybe are tuning in for the first time, I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. Again, I'm a cat and dog expert. I've been a dog trainer and worked at pet hotels for over 10 years, and I was lucky enough to grow up in a house full of animals, which is what I'm going to be talking to you tonight about. Is this episode is titled, What Pet Should I Get My Child? And I'm going to be going through the pros and cons and different criteria and stuff you need to think about before giving in and getting your child a pet, because my parents will tell you I was very convincing when I said I wanted such and such for a pet, because I grew up in a house full of them, and I still absolutely love animals. I have my own house full of pets now. But it is my own pets and my love of pets that I've combined with my other passion, which is writing. I kept diaries and journals and wrote short stories long before I knew how to edit or spell check or do any of the other things for books. And that passion has stuck with me to where now I am a published author and do the editing and formatting and everything for my own books, and am able to tell young readers stories about my real-life pets. My picture book series is Sunny the Wonder Dog, that is based on my real-life dog. Sunny the Shih Tzu was so incredibly smart during his lifetime that I had to come up with a creative way of describing his intelligence. And it had to be an alien from outer space, because he had this very cool, freaky, ESP almost connection with me. You can check out his website, sunnythewonderdog.com, and see how I taught him to read. And he's not looking at the reading cards. He's looking at my face. And so that's why he, in this picture book series, became an alien disguised as a Shih Tzu, come to Earth and has to learn how to adapt to being a dog. Because we called Sonny a person in a furry body. He was just so smart. And that's kind of the characteristics that I've picked up on in my picture book series, of showing that Sonny really doesn't want to be walked on a leash, really doesn't want to eat food off the floor in a bowl, and really doesn't want to say just wolf. He wants to be able to talk. So it's a really fun, cute book, and it's been a great way to remember Sonny's incredible life, because he died entirely too young. I lost him about 4.5 years ago. So it's been a real fun way to remember how incredible he was. And my other book series is a chapter book series based on my experience of finding and bottle raising one-day-old kittens. And I'm lucky enough to still have all 4 of these babies. Even though they are almost 8 years old now, I still call them kittens. And yes, I kept all 4 of them. After 6 weeks of bottle feeding them every 2 to 3 hours, I was so in love with them, there was no way I could part with any of them. But it inspired me to write this middle grade chapter book series to teach children the true responsibility that it takes to have a pet of your own. And yes, this is the ultimate task, because 13-year-old Megan is bottle raising 4 kittens, just like I did almost 8 years ago. But it is a really good example of how she shows her parents that she's responsible enough to have a pet. And yeah, she does it in a backwards way. She gets the kittens and then shows that she is responsible. But as the series progresses, she learns about pet sitting and handling other people's pets. She starts going and working with the local veterinarian and starts taking an interest in becoming a vet herself. So it's been a very fun series for me to write as well. And I think it has some great lessons in responsibility and honesty for young readers. So you can find out more about my books and me on my website, PamelaFoland.com. And let's get going on what pet should I get my child. And this is going to be fun for me to talk to you guys about, because most of these pets I'm going to talk about, I've had in some way, shape, or form over the years, whether it's pet sitting for someone else or actually somebody in my family having it. So I'm going to try and go through the pets based upon the level of care and responsibility that they need. Because I know if your child is like I was at 2 years old, 3 years old, I was already asking mom and dad for a puppy. And so I'm going to try and help you guys out with the information that I share with you tonight. One of the easiest pets, at least in the amount of care that it requires, is a hermit crabs. And these are very easy, low-maintenance pets once you get their terrarium set up and everything. They kind of take care of themselves. My brother has had hermit crabs for over 20 years, and so yes, they live an incredibly long time. They grow to be really fairly big compared to how small I remember the hermit crabs being when we first got them, but he still has them in the same size terrarium and doesn't really have to. There's no cage cleaning or anything. I think he maybe cleans the full tank out once a year, but puts food in the terrarium and sprays it down to make sure that the hermit crabs have moisture. And like I said, it's a fairly low-maintenance pet. They're kind of self-contained. But now, if you've got a child like me, I'm sitting there saying, well, they're not very cuddly. And I know that when my brother first got the hermit crabs, we would let them out on the carpeting because we were both still at home, young children. And they would wander around a little bit. I don't think that hermit crabs necessarily like being out of their environment and on the carpeting or walking across your hands or your lap or whatever, but because my brother doesn't do that with his hermit crabs now. And the other thing is they have pinchers. And I haven't been pinched by his hermit crabs. They're really, really big now, 20 years later. But I remember being a teenager and getting pinched by the baby hermit crabs. And it does startle you, and it pinches. It hurts. So it really, all of this is dependent on your own child's personality, dependent on whether they want something soft and cuddly or how much responsibility they are willing to put into it. Google was recommending hermit crabs for 5 to 10 years old. And if you've got a child that is just wanting to watch the hermit crabs and learn about them through observation, then that's fantastic. If you had a child like me that wanted to hug and cuddle it, I would have been happy with the hermit crab because I would have got pinched because I would have wanted to take it out of its environment too much. And it's the same thing for the fish tank. We had a fish tank at my parents' house almost the entire time I was growing up. And I now have two different fish tanks in my house, and I find them completely fascinating as an adult. And I loved watching my dad clean the fish tank as a child. I thought that suction hose that you pump the water out of the fish tank with was completely fascinating. But again, they're not very soft and cuddly. You can't take them out of the tank and do much with them. But they're also very easy maintenance. I mean, you put kind of drop the food in to the tank, and yeah, you have to clean the water a couple times. Well, I didn't remember because I've learned so much as an adult taking care of my fish tanks and other people's fish tanks to where I'm cleaning the tank at least every other week. And I know other people that don't clean it, but a couple of times a month. So, again, it depends on how much time you and your child have to devote to the pet. Fish are fascinating. Even tiny little neon tetras each have their own personality, even though they all look completely identical. And I think the biggest thing I've learned from all my pet sitting and dog training and working with animals is that children learn how to take care of pets from their parents. And you can't expect a child at any age to take care of the pet completely. If it's their first pet, it's their first experience with the pet, they have to learn from you. And I know that's exactly what I did. And my parents were wonderful at getting us a new pet. And they took on the responsibility of that pet and taught me and my brother, this is what it takes. And I got my first pet that I really, really knew what was going on, knew that I was going to learn responsibility and how to care for a pet at 8 years old. My first pet was a guinea pig because my elementary school classroom had guinea pigs, and I thought they were adorable. I pet sat for them on weekends, and so that was really cool. And his name was Gus, and that's how I learned about pet care and responsibility. Is I was 8 years old. My mom made the responsibility level to an 8-year-old child in that I came home from school and I had to help her take care of Gus before I could do anything else. And I had it really good. I got to sit and hold and pet Gus while my mom cleaned out the cage and then feed him once the cage was cleaned. But again, 8-year-old child, I was learning responsibility because coming home from school at 8 years old, I had to learn that taking care of the pet came first. And I did. And by the end of Gus's life, when I was 11, 12 years old, I was starting to do the entire cage cleaning and caring for him myself. And that is a lesson that has stuck with me into adulthood, because it doesn't matter if I'm gone all day or 30 minutes at the grocery store. I still come home and the pets get taken care of before I do anything else. So it's definitely ingrained in me, that's for sure. And yes, I kind of skipped over one, but that's okay. We'll go back now. Another pet that my brother had when he was fairly young were gerbils. And I've had hamsters as well, and no and PetSat for people that had the small mice and rats. They're all kind of, you know, in the same level of care in that you put them in their cage, and a couple of them, like hamsters and mice especially, are very nocturnal and only up at night. And when I had my hamster, his cage could not be in my bedroom because that wheel squeaking would have kept me up all night because he ran in that wheel all night long. But their cage doesn't need to be cleaned as often as a guinea pig or a rabbit cage does. Every 3 or 4 days, I think that big cage that my brother's gerbils was in was about once a week we were cleaning it when we were growing up. The bad thing is they're fast. I remember the gerbils running down the hall of my parents' house because we didn't have the exercise ball like I had for my hamster, and they'd get away from us and we'd have to go catch them. So, it depends on your child of how much they want to truly hug and cuddle a pet and how patient they're willing to be of, okay, this is something really, really tiny that I'm much bigger than, and I have to be careful. I can't grip it too hard or I'm going to injure it. And you have to handle especially the gerbils and hamsters and mice very cautiously because you are so much bigger than them. If they start feeling like they're going to get injured or hurt when they are picked up, they're going to start biting. And I know from having my male hamster, Bucky, several years ago, he was kind of territorial of his cage. If I could get him to crawl out of his cage into an exercise ball or into my hand, he was very, very sweet and loving and would let me hold him and pet him. But if I tried to reach into his cage and grab him up, oh, he would bite. So they're very, very cute and interesting creatures to have, all of them. I pet sat for mice and rats, and they were just as fascinating. They got to come out. I had pet sat for a rat that liked to ride around the house on my shoulder, and he would just sit there. I could walk everywhere in the house, and he was absolutely fine doing that. But they're all more the nocturnal creatures that aren't necessarily going to sit in your child's lap like a guinea pig would do. And I think that's, besides the guinea pig's sleep, that's one of my favorite things about the guinea pigs is I have a guinea pig currently named Brody that I pick him up and put him in my lap every night as I watch TV. And I just love that they sit there with me. The only bad thing about doing that is you can't necessarily potty train them. So there has been nights that I've held him a little too long, and all of a sudden he has maxed it on me. But I have learned I put a towel under him, and it makes it to where I don't have to worry as much. Like, the next pet I'm going to talk about is rabbits. And the rabbits are cool that you can litter box train them. And I had a rabbit as a teenager named Lucky that could hop back in her cage when she had to go potty, and she was litter box trained. Now, it took me being trained first, and I think I was either 14 or 15 years old when I got Lucky. And it took me being trained first of corralling her in a very, very small area and making sure that she hopped back in her cage every few minutes just it, the off chance she was going to have to go potty. But both rabbits and guinea pigs need their cage cleaned every day, and sometimes twice a day, depending on what type of bedding or anything you have the guinea pigs on. And rabbits, I know when we had Lucky in the house, her cage got really stinky after just minutes of being cleaned. And we actually got her a hutch in the backyard after a couple years being in the house. And I got to let her run in the backyard, and she was really funny. This was a number of years ago, and obviously the wildlife and the environment of Plano, Texas, and Dallas, Texas, where I live now, has changed, because I could never do this now. There's too many hawks and possums and bobcats, but the rabbit was really fun to watch run across the backyard as a teenager, and she would come and lay next to me if I sat out on the patio or something. And I had a lion head rabbit, which was really fluffy, really cute little guy named Benny, for a number of years. And he stayed in the house. I had a cage, and he stayed in the house. He got to run. That's one thing that the rabbits definitely do need, is they do need that exercise time. They cannot live in the cage 24/7 like hamsters and gerbils and mice. If you don't take them out of the cage and you just have that exercise wheel in there for them, they're going to be completely fine. Rabbits, no. They need that time out of the cage, their exercise, or they're going to get very unhappy and be very unhealthy for you. So they take a little bit of additional care in that respect. And they also are not as cuddly as a guinea pig, in that they can kick and they can scratch. And I know the rabbit I had as a teenager would tolerate me picking her up. And if I got her in a baby position and stroked her ears, she would kind of go to sleep in my arms. But she really preferred not to be picked up. And there was days that there was no way I could flip her over to calm her down in my arms. And I know the lion head rabbit that I had as an adult, it didn't matter if you were reaching in to give him a piece of food. He did this little rabbit grunt and clawed at your hands every time. I could never break it, him of doing that his entire life. I went out of town and asked my parents to pet sit him for a weekend one time, and I warned them, hey, he's going to do this when you reach in his cage. Well, I think they were glad I didn't travel again after that, because his scratching and grunting at them every time they reached in his cage kind of spooked them. And this was a 2-pound rabbit. I was like, we should not be afraid of a 2-pound rabbit, but I'm totally with you guys. It kind of startles you when you're not expecting it. So you will know your child's personality best. I know I've worked with a client whose little girl was 11 or 12 years old, but she was terrified of the guinea pig's claws, just the guinea pig's claws touching her, not even really clawing at her or anything. And so every child is different, just like every pet is different. And if claws on a child's skin is going to spook them, then, you know, you're going to have to consider carefully whether or not a guinea pig, and especially a rabbit, is right for your child. And so that is some of the pets. I'm going to take a short commercial break, and we'll continue the Pamela Folan Show in just a couple minutes. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll be right back.
Brought to you by Mistech. Welcome to the future. Go to Mistech.net for the full story, but in the meantime, stop thinking about leveling up and just get some Mistech. People all around the world share their experience and love how they feel after putting it on. We offer a 30-day money-back guarantee, along with a lifetime warranty. WTF? What the frequency? Find out today at Mistech.net.
Hello, Arnold Schwarzenegger here with an important announcement. You may remember me from movies like The Terminator, but I would like to talk about one particular movie where I go to Mars. There is this mountain called Pyramid Mountain, and all this crazy alien shit goes on inside it. Do you think that's all science fiction? Think again, my friend. That's why you have to tune in to Pyramids on Mars UFO radio show on artistfirst.com. My friend Kevin Estrella, he is in a band called Pyramids on Mars. He has also been contacted by aliens. This guy has been a guest on over 15 UFO radio talk shows, so you have to listen to him. There's something going on, and it can't be ignored. He interviews people who have been abducted by aliens. He interviews alien-human hybrids. This is no bullshit. So get to the chopper! Do whatever you have to do and go listen. Get your ass to Mars. Pyramids on Mars. UFO radio.
There Is a Reaper is the story of 5-year-old Christopher Aaron and his life-changing struggle with leukemia. Winner of both the Indie Bragg Medallion as well as the Reader's Favorite Silver Medal for Memoir, There Is a Reaper has more than 100 Amazon book reviews and a 5-star rating. It has been described as life-changing, spiritual, a must-read. Just released on Audible and iTunes, this memoir is also available in paperback and on Amazon Kindle for only 99 cents. Get your copy of this life-changing memoir today.
Listening to the Pamela Folan Show on the Artist First Radio Network. Send your questions and comments to dj@artistfirst.com. Let's get back to your host, Pamela Folan.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for hanging with me through the commercial break. Okay, tonight's episode is What Pet Should I Get My Child? So we're going to get back through going through some more pets that I can tell you about based on having them at myself or a pet sitting for them. So let's get back to the list I've created for tonight's show. The next pet is ferrets. Now, I've never had a ferret 100% as a pet for myself, but I pet sat for a lot of ferrets. And they kind of fall into the same attention and category as rabbits and guinea pigs in that their cage needs to be cleaned every day. They need to be out and exercised and played with and have their running time. You can't just set them in a cage set up and leave them with an exercise wheel or anything because they're too big for an exercise wheel, like a hamster, a gerbil, or mice could be. They need lots and lots of human contact. They have the teeth and the curiosity personality of a cat in that they are very curious, and the more mysterious things are, the more they want to interact with it. Just like a cat, the ferrets I babysat for loved the crinkle tunnels and paper bags. They thought those were the best things ever. And the ferrets I pet sat for also, one of them really liked a cat's jingly ball. He would actually fetch it for me like a dog. It was really, really cool. Ferrets are also supposed to be litter box trained or can be litter box trained. I've never pet sat for a ferret that was 100% litter box trained, but they are supposed to be really good in that respect. From cleaning their cage and taking care of them for several weeks pet sitting, I did notice that ferrets are a little bit on the stinkier side. And they just kind of have this smell of their own that I always associate with ferrets. But they're lots and lots of fun. They do have that high energy level to where they're not going to sit in your lap like a guinea pig will. They are very, very skittish of being handled if they don't know you. And they have cat-like teeth, so they can bite. Now, the ferrets I pet sat for, they might have put their teeth on me the very first time I went to pick them up out of their cage to clean it. But at least the ferrets I could make up with a whole lot easier than the next pet that I'm going to talk about, which is birds. And birds is another one that I've never owned as a pet for myself, but I've pet sat and watched a whole lot of different birds. And the very, very first experience I had with birds was as a preteen or early teenager, I joined the local 4-H club, which was a great way because I know 4-H is still around, and I don't know, I couldn't find anything on the internet this evening right before the show to see, but back when I did 4-H, they had this great pet program to where you could take home for a couple weeks in between the meetings a different pet every month. And so I got to experience a lot of different pets this way, and that was how I learned about birds. There were these two little, I think they were finches. I don't really remember. I remember their names. They were Phoebe and Beebe, a pair of, I want to say finches, that I watched for an entire month, I think, in between 4-H meetings. And these were teeny tiny birds, like the size of sparrows, that they wouldn't talk, but they would whistle, and they would sing, and they were beautiful in their songs, except for the fact that there was no off switch. They would be singing and chirping all day long. It didn't matter that I said, I've got this book report due, or I've got to study for this math test. They were still chirping and singing to their heart's content. And it was in the 90s when we didn't have the instant Wi-Fi internet connection. Anyone growing up or living in the 90s will remember the old dial-up internet connection that we had. And any time the computer would make that chirp for the dial-up internet, oh, the birds were just absolutely in love with that sound. They thought it was a bird. I am convinced they thought it was a bird trapped in the computer. And so getting on the internet made it a whole other experience of having the birds that I was watching in my room. And the other funny thing is that they were very tiny birds. So thankfully they did not peck or nip at me when I went in to clean their water bowl or change their food dish out or do anything in their cage, because we never got them out of the cage. I could do everything just by opening the door or pulling the tray out from the bottom of the cage, but I never got to handle these birds, which, as you've been listening to me all night, you know I'm all about the hug and cuddle the furry animals, but birds was not one of the ones I could do. And at pet resorts, I've pet sat for an African gray parrot named Uno. And Uno was hilarious because he would talk and he would mimic his owner's voice especially. He would mimic laughs that he heard. And after pet sitting him long enough, he would start repeating whatever I said, whatever my coworkers said. The bad thing about Uno is he only liked his owner. He only liked his mama. And when we tried to reach in, pet sitting him to clean his water dish or give him new food, he'd bite. And that big bird beak hurt a lot, and it startled you. So we could never get him out of the cage up on our shoulders like his mom would walk into the pet resort with him riding on her shoulder. And I'm convinced he would have pierced my ears for me if I had tried to do that with him. And again, there was no off switch to him. We had him up at the front lobby of the pet resort, and I would be on the phone trying to hear the other end of the phone call with Uno squawking in the background. It just had to learn to listen over it. So birds are wonderful pets, but I am convinced it takes a very, very special type of person to take care of them for their life, because they do live a very, very long time. And that's fantastic, because as a pet owner, I love pets. I know how hard it is to lose pets, but birds is just one pet that I love to pet sit for, but I don't know that I'd ever want a bird in my house full time. And Misty, my kitty cat, just walked across my note page. There we go. Okay, we're back in business here. The next pet I'm going to talk about is cats. And before I go on to cats, I just realized that I have not been telling you guys how long any of these pets live. So I apologize, and I'm going to go back and run through them. I think I told you the hermit crabs my brothers had for over 20 years. So they can live an incredibly long time. The fish, I have a pleco algae eater currently that is almost 10 inches long, and I'm told that she can live up to 20 years. But most fish, 2 to 3, 5 years maximum is about the average life expectancy of fish. Gerbils, hamsters, and mice, kind of 2 to 3 years is the average life expectancy of them. The little robo hamsters and the miniature hamsters that they have now come up with in the last several years, they don't live much more than a year just because they're so tiny. I'm not quite sure why that is, but that's what I found to be true from pet sitting robo hamsters. Pet rats can live a little bit longer. They kind of are in between the gerbil and hamster and the guinea pig ages, they can live 3 to 5 years, usually. Guinea pigs, I have had them live anywhere from 4 to 6 years. 6 years is about the oldest I've ever had a guinea pig live. Rabbits are supposed to live anywhere from 5 to 7 years. My rabbit that I had as a teenager lived to be just over 7 years old. And my little lion-headed rabbit that I had as an adult and just lost a couple of years ago, he was only 4 years old when he passed away. So there's, just like people, it seems like there's a wide variety of ages associated with the pets. Birds can live a very long time. I know the parrots and the macaws can live 20 or more years. I think that the life expectancy of the little finches and that canary-type birds are probably closer to around 10 years. And the ferrets can live 6 to 8. I've even known a ferret to live up to 10 years. So they definitely can live a long time too, which the life expectancy is another thing that you have to consider when getting a pet for your child, because I love saying that pets are family, because as you know from my telling you about the kittens that I bottle raised from a day old, pets come into this house and they stay. They're mine for their lifetime. So if you have a child that maybe has a shorter attention span or is going to lose interest, then you may not want a real high-maintenance pet that's going to live a long time and might be better for them to start with a lower-maintenance pet that maybe is not going to live as long, but it'll allow them to try something else till they find the pet that is right for them, or they decide, hey, I'm okay with not having a pet. And one of the interesting things that I think is so smart that my parents did when my brother and I got to be 10, 11 years old is we'd say we wanted a pet, like at the time I was wanting a rabbit. And they said, okay, I want you to do a research and a report on all the care and all the information that you will need to learn to be able to care for that pet. And so, I mean, we had the internet back then in the 90s, even if it was the old dial-up crazy internet, but there was a form of internet. So between that and the good old-fashioned go to the library and get books, I did all sorts of research on the rabbits and learned how to care for them and showed the report to my parents and was asked, can you handle taking care of a rabbit? And I said yes. And that's how I got to get Lucky Bunny at 14, 15 years old. Now, there was other pets that I was interested in long before I became interested in rabbits that I did the report on. And by the time I learned all about them, when I handed in the report to my parents, like the sugar gliders, for example, was one report I remember doing. And they said, well, can you handle taking care of a sugar glider? And I was like, no, I don't think I want a sugar glider anymore. They're cute. I wanted them to ride around in my pocket. But there was just too many little details that I wasn't willing to contend with at that time. So I thought that doing the reports and the research was a fantastic way of my parents teaching me how to choose a pet that fit my personality and fit the level of devotion I was willing to give to that pet. And again, I think I did the first report for a pet at 10 or 11 years old. So that's an idea, too, to do with your child. Because the last two pets I'm going to talk about are cats and dogs. And they're the most common household pets, probably, for families. But they're also ones that require the greatest level of responsibility and care. Cats are more independent and can be litter box trained and are kind of self-sufficient, but they're going to live 15 or more years. And I've known cats that live 22, 23 years in age, and I know the cats, the five cats that I have here at the house, they would go crazy if I was not home for more than a few days. They're just used to having me here, and they thrive on having my attention and being able to be around me and sit in my lap. And dogs are going to be, depending on the breed of dog, depending on the size of the dog, they can live anywhere from 8 to 15, 16 years. I know there was a Chihuahua that I pet sat for up until she was 24 years old. So there's a wide, wide age range of life expectancies for them, too. But they need a lot more care because they have to be let outside to go potty every couple hours. And they're pack animals. They love being around people and being interacted with and taken for walks and have the ball thrown and do all these different things. They need to be groomed. Cats need to be brushed a lot more than any of the other pets that I've talked about with you tonight. So they're a lot more maintenance and a lot more responsibility is needed that comes with having the dog and cat. The great thing that I love about the dog and cats as an adult is that they do live longer, and I do get the unconditional love from my dog and my cats now, but as a child and a teenager growing up, the dogs and cats were always just the family pets. My mom and dad were the ones that took care of them. And I think that was the biggest thing that I learned in talking to my parents before doing the radio show tonight with you, as well as talking to numerous clients and reading through the diaries and journals that I have of working with different clients who got their child a pet for a birthday or for Christmas, was you have to really gauge the age, the age of your child before you take to heart and listen to what the child is asking for. I know a client that their child was just a toddler, really, really small, and the child was asking for a Jack Russell Terrier puppy, and Jack Russells are about as excitable and high-energy dogs as you can get, and, you know, with having a toddler and then the client becoming pregnant and expecting another child very soon after, that Jack Russell Terrier puppy had to entertain himself many times throughout the day, and the family wasn't real happy with how he chose to entertain himself because he would chew furniture, toys, throw pillows, anything he could get his little doggy teeth into because he was bored. And I remember the family telling me, he's so good when he's with you. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm straining his little doggy brain, making him do stuff and he's not given a moment of time to himself. So it definitely takes research on your part as the parent to decide what your child is capable of handling, knowing what level of responsibility you are going to have and be comfortable in having for the pet that your child is asking for. I know that the first family dog that we got was when I was 6 years old when we got Maggie, and she was this border collie, sweet, sweet border collie mix that we rescued from an adoption fair. And back then in the late 80s, my mom was saying she wanted a dog that looked like Benji from the Benji movies that were out back then. And we'd been to numerous different shelters looking for a Benji dog. We get to this one animal shelter that had all these dogs either on leash or in crates. The only dog that was free was what we named and adopted as Maggie. And when my brother and I started, you know, being young kids running around the daycare fenced-in area where the adoption fair was, she was following us. She not only would follow us around the yard, she would go up and down the kiddie slide with us. And that's how my mom knew this dog is spectacular with my young children. This is the dog that we are going to adopt. And that's how she became the family dog. So, like I have said, every child is different. Every pet is different. But you are going to know best and be able to judge based upon not only your own research, but if your child is able to do their own research for these individual pets that they're asking for, that's going to be a great help to you. And I'm a super big advocate of adopting rather than shopping for a pet and getting someone out of the animal shelters and letting them have a good life, and also letting the child and the person, doesn't even have to be a child. If it's a person, I don't recommend getting a pet for a birthday or a Christmas present, because it is a big, big responsibility and a long-term commitment for a pet. So doing your homework, having your child, if they're capable and old enough to do their homework, do the reports, and really knowing what you're getting into as a family or as an individual before getting a pet, because to me, having to turn a pet back into the animal shelter or pet store is just a heartbreaking thought for me. So thank you so much for listening to me. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Pamela Folan Show. And I will talk to you again next month, the fourth Monday of every month, here on Artist First Radio Network. Have a great night, everybody.